Welcome to the broadcast of Crosstown Church of Memphis. We are a church that is Christ-centered, diversity-driven, and community-committed. A church that's bringing people together, sharing God's message of hope, love, and service. We seek to love God, love people, and serve the city. We welcome you to our broadcast with Pastor Byron Fitzpatrick.
I want to share with you guys, you know, recently, y'all know that I'm a social media person, right? I spend some time on social media, and one of my favorite social media apps that I use now, and you guys know, is TikTok. I use TikTok a lot. I'm a big fan of TikTok. But I was on TikTok recently, a couple weeks ago, or something like that, and I ran across this video, and it's called Senior Citizens or Senior Citizens Home, and senior citizens, it's two ladies and a guy. They live in a nursing home. It's a nursing home group. It's a guy and two ladies that live in a nursing home. They do these TikTok videos and they are hilarious. They are so funny. So if you're on TikTok, look for nursing home or something like that. It's called these three people are so funny. Their videos are very creative and everything like that. But I ran across this video, and in the video, they were talking about Joe Byron and, you know, Joe Byron's car wash and whatever. And I was like, Joe Byron, who is Joe Byron? You know? So anyway, then later on, like a couple of days later, I ran across another video that, you know, Byron was mentioned in the video. And so I want to share this video with you guys. I just thought it was so funny. I just thought it was so hilarious. So I'm going to share the video with you guys. All right, here it is.
Are you thankful for this Thanksgiving?
Beans, right? Jesus Christ and Byron.
Who?
Byron.
Who?
Byron.
It's a hard hat holidays. Respectfully.
Hey, beans, rice, Jesus Christ, and Byron. Who are you thankful for this holiday? Beans, rice, Jesus Christ, and Byron. And I thought it was just so funny. I had actually used that sound or stitched it in TikTok or whatever. And, you know, I don't know why, but it's like whenever I see my name, you know, or hear my name, you know, and maybe y'all like this too, but it just makes me perk up. It's like somebody else out there named Byron, you know, because you don't hear too many people with that name. But anyway, and especially when it's not being abused like Tyler Perry did, and people are still abusing it today. But beans, rice, Jesus Christ, and Byron. So I was trying to figure out who was this Joe Byron, because I've heard this and I've seen this show up in a few TikTok videos. So I did some research on it. So I'm gonna educate you guys on who Joe Byron is. All right. So what it is, that guy that you saw in the video who said beans, rice, Jesus Christ, and Byron. I found some earlier videos of him. So what it is, this guy, he goes on the streets in Coney Island. This particular time, it was during Thanksgiving. He was going out on the streets and he was just interviewing people randomly on the streets and asking them, you know, what are they thankful for, whatever. And this ran across this one particular guy, and he says beans, rice, Jesus Christ, and Byron. But then I found a couple of other earlier videos where he was interviewing this same guy. One of the things that he was talking about, the guy said, is he said something about, he said Joe Byron. And so when he said Joe Byron, so it was, I'm thinking, who is Joe Byron? Because I keep hearing his name, Joe Byron popping up. Lo and behold, Joe Byron is actually Joe Biden. So this guy, the guy that says beans, rice, Jesus Christ, and Byron, he doesn't say Joe Biden. He says Joe Byron. And so everybody gets a kick out of it. He says Joe Byron, you know. So he's thankful for his beans, rice, Jesus Christ, and Joe Biden. But he calls him Joe Byron. And the guy had the earlier video, the guy had asked him, he said, hey, if you were able to see Joe Byron, what would you ask him? What would you say to him right now? Hey, he was saying something like, hey, take me out to dinner, you know, so for some beans, rice, and Jesus Christ. Anyway, you know, this video right here went viral. It's got like over 2 million views on YouTube. you know, it's a pretty cool video, pretty fun video. But this video, again, that when he said that beans, rice, Jesus Christ, and Byron, he was out, you know, interviewing people during Thanksgiving, you know, and we just had celebrated Thanksgiving. And, you know, one of the things about Thanksgiving is like there's a staple. Ooh, y'all see that sun? Ooh, the sun is shining on me. What's that? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Come on in, son. Come on in. Hey, anyway, Thanksgiving is a time where people get together for what is called the four F's. Y'all know what the four F's are? The four F's are family, friends, fellowship, and lastly, but not leastly, food. Got to have food, right? It's a time where we get together as family and friends, and we fellowship together. We love on each other, and we share a lot of food, all right? A lot of people, and this is not just a cultural thing, but this is primarily a United States holiday. And so it's a great time where people come together. You know, there's no gathering. There's no better gathering than those type of gatherings that has the four F's. And that is the family, friends, fellowship, and food. And right now, all of us, you know, all around the world, people are preparing for Christmas. And during Christmas is also a time where people come together and they share in these four F's: food, friends, family, and fellowship. So right now, as we speaking, right now, people all around this entire globe, all around every country, every nation, every city, every neighborhood, you name it, from the North Pole to the South Pole, people are planning right now four F's: family, friends, food, and fellowship. You know, one thing about the four F's, is Jesus. He spent a lot of time sharing in the four F's. You know, he spent a lot of time, you know, in gatherings and gathering with people in their homes, and, you know, gathering with people out in the community. And he was sharing time with family, with friends. He was sharing time fellowshipping, and he was sharing time with food. If you look at a lot of situations with Jesus in the Bible, there's a lot of times where there was food involved. Amen. You remember the time where he was out there, he had 5,000 people, 10,000 people out there, and he was ministering to them, and they wanted something to eat. They wanted some food. He took two fish and five loaves and fed 5,000 people food. Amen. Remember the time when he was at a wedding and they ran out of something to drink. They was doing what? They had family, they had friends, they had food, and they had fellowship. They ran out of wine. So Jesus did what? Made wine so that the family, friend, food, and fellowship could continue. All right. He didn't want the party to be broken up. So he assisted in the party continuing on.
I'm not talking about that. I was talking about the phone.
Say what?
I was talking
about the phone. Oh, we had an interruption there. Sorry about that. But anyway, Jesus spent a lot of time with the four F's: the food, family, friends, and fellowship. You know, one thing about these food, these times where Jesus was spending with people, fellowshipping, and, you know, eating food and just hanging out, you know, is that these were also times, some of these times were times where he was accused of doing things that, you know, he shouldn't have been doing. You know, he's hanging out with his family, he's hanging out with friends, he's hanging out with different people. They, you know, having food, they having a great time, fellowshipping, loving on one another. And a couple of times he was accused of doing things that he wasn't, accused of doing things that, you know, wasn't true. Like one couple of times he was accused of hanging out with sinners. You know, here he is sharing in the four F's, and he's accused of hanging out, accused and condemned for hanging out with sinners. There was a time where, you know, he was sharing in food, family, friends, and fellowship, and he was also, you know, caught up in a scandal. And the scandal, some of you might remember this scandal, it involves a lady by the name of Mary Magdalene. And you know, there's songs that's been made up about this situation. People are saying, we sing songs in church. Some of you might be familiar with the song Alabaster Box. Alabaster Box song is written off of this situation where Jesus was caught up in this scandal with this woman. And what she did is Jesus was invited to a guy's house. It was a Pharisee. And he invited Jesus over to his house for what? To share in the four F's: food, friends, family, and fellowship. I didn't say in the same order, but they all still there. But as he's there, you know, there was this one lady there. You know, there was a bunch of ladies there. But this one particular lady, you know, she came up to Jesus and she took some water, and then she took some oil and some perfume. And She kneeled down at the feet of Jesus. Jesus was sitting down in a chair, and she kneeled down at his feet, took his sandals off of his feet, and she washed his feet, and she used her hair to dry the water off of his feet, you know, to wipe his feet off. And man, she must have had some long hair. After she washed his feet off with her hair, then she took some oil, some perfume oil, some special, you know, expensive oil, and she took it and rubbed it all over his feet to moisturize his feet and everything like that. You know, some of y'all may be familiar with that, those essential oils. So I'm imagining it was some essential oils that was very expensive and must have smelled real good, because it seemed like everybody in the house could smell it and knew something was going on. And the guy that invited Jesus to the house, to his house, okay, for the four F's, to sharing the four F's, he began thinking something in his mind. You know, as this was happening, as this lady was washing Jesus' feet and using his perfume and so forth, he began to think something in his mind, which started the scandal, or kind of aided to the scandal in a sense. All right. And here it is. I'm going to read this to you guys out of the book of Luke, chapter 7 and 39. It says, when the Pharisee who invited him saw this, meaning saw the lady washing his feet, he said to himself, he said in his mind, he didn't speak it out loud, but he thought this to himself. He said, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. So here this guy is thinking to himself, and he's sitting back and he's watching this. You know, just imagine if we're at a time where a lot of people are getting together for food, family, and fellowship. And then at that particular time right there, then all of a sudden somebody gets up and goes over to, you know, this guy, some man's feet, and take his shoes off and start washing his feet. You know, right there alone, when soon as somebody kneeled down at somebody's feet, everybody gonna start watching, like, okay, what's going on over here? You know what I'm saying? And then taking his shoes off and then washing his feet. Okay, who does that? You know what I mean? Maybe in their culture, that was something that was common. I don't know. But in our culture today, that would seem, you know, everybody would start watching. People would be in the back room and they'll be coming to the front, seeing what's going on. People be taking pictures, getting their phones out, posting. Somebody be live on Facebook, like right now, going live. Y'all got to see this right here. Check this out. Somebody would have their phone talking about World Star Hip Hop. But and then to take her hair and wash his feet with that, like, okay, everybody. So this guy's sitting back and he's watching, like, okay, what's going on over here? What Jesus got going on? Okay. All right, Jesus, I see you over there, Jesus, man. He said, man, if this man was a prophet, if he was a preacher like he say he is, if he's the man of God like he say he is, why is he letting this woman touch him like this? Do he know who this one? He should know who this woman is. This woman is a sinner. Now, what is known about this woman who was washing the feet of Jesus is that she is the same woman that was caught in adultery and that was dragged out in the streets and who was about to be stoned to death. And they brought Jesus and they said, Jesus, here's this woman. She was caught in adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her to death. And Jesus says, yeah, you're right. That's what the law of Moses says. So he who was without sin cast the first stone, and nobody could cast a stone, and everybody had to walk away, which meant that everybody was a sinner. Not just that lady laying on the ground was a sinner, but everybody was a sinner. And everybody was in need of what? Forgiveness. And Jesus forgave her and told her to go and sin no more. Now, here's the deal. This is supposedly that this is the same woman that's in this house, at this Pharisee's house, washing the feet of Jesus Christ. OK, so my question is, if this Pharisee know that this woman is a sinner, why he got her at his house? Good question, right? Now, he's in his mind thinking, if Jesus is a prophet, he should know that this woman right here is a sinner. Well, bruh, put it on yourself. If you know she's a sinner, why you invite her to your house? Okay, let me move on. I got to finish this story right here. So here's the deal. Let me finish the scripture right here. It says, this man, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him, that what type of woman that she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered him and said, so Jesus, he knew what Simon was thinking. It's like he read his mind and he knew what he was thinking. So Simon's thinking to himself. So Jesus decided that he's going to speak out loud. So Jesus is like, I'm not going to think this in my mind. I'm just going to go ahead and say what's on my mind. Some of us, we be saying what's on our mind. And sometimes what we say on our mind ain't the right time to be saying what's on our mind. But this time Jesus said he's going to say what's on his mind. It was the right time. Jesus answered Simon. He said, Simon, I have something to tell you. And Simon says, tell me, teacher. He said, two people owed money to a certain money lender. You know, Jesus liked to talk in parables, right? So he was a storyteller. He liked to tell stories. So whenever hear people talk about Jesus telling parables, just think of it like this. Jesus was a storyteller. He liked to tell stories. Jesus said, I got a story for you, Simon. Okay, Jesus, what's the story? He said, two people, they owed money to a money lender. He said, one owed him 500 denarii and the other one 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he forgave the debt of both of them. Now, which will love him the more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. And Jesus said, you have judged correctly. So here, Jesus used this story because he pictures what Simon is thinking in his mind about this woman being a sinner. And he tells him a story. Okay, two people owe somebody some money. This guy, he's a money lender. Two people owe money. One of them owe more, one of them owe a little bit less, but he forgave both of them because neither one of them had the ability to be able to pay them back, right? So Simon, which one will love the person that forgave them more? Simon, he's a smart man. He's an intelligent man. He could figure this out. He said, the one who had the bigger debt. I suppose, yeah, that's the one that's going to love him more. As the story goes on, Jesus was looking down at this woman and he said, this woman right here, and I'm going to paraphrase in the scripture and you guys can go back and read it. He said, this woman right here, she washed my feet. You didn't even offer me a glass of water. You invited me to your house and you didn't even offer me a glass of water, but this woman right here washed my feet. You're saying that this woman is a sinner, but you're the one who invited her here. You're saying that this woman is a sinner. What about your sins? Should we talk about your sins? You thinking about her, so let's put them on the table. Should we put your sins out there on the table? Oh, no, 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 Jesus, let's not do that. Let's not, hold on. But here what happened, Jesus took this as an opportunity to teach Simon something. He began to teach Simon that, guess what? All of us are in need of forgiveness. All of us are sinners. None of us are perfect. We all got flaws. We all got a past history. We all got, you know, present history, you know, present sins. We all got some sins that we're going to commit in the future. All of us are in need of what Jesus has available to us, and that is the forgiveness of sins. Simon, you're a sinner just like she's a sinner. Your sins may be different than what her sins are, but do not discount the fact that your sins are sins too. He used this as an opportunity to teach Simon something. And as he was teaching Simon, Simon began to have a little shift in his thinking. He began to have a little shift in how he was viewing her. And he backed off and he realized, like, wow, you know, it's just like when this lady was thrown out into the streets and, you know, getting ready to be stoned. And Jesus said, okay, who here is without sin? You're right. Sin has a price. She needs to pay the price for her sin. But okay, so should we stone everybody? Because y'all need to be stoned too, okay? Everybody walked away. Nobody was left there. Simon, he had a change in his thinking. And his thinking was leading him to a place of separation. And so often we do this. We have a thinking that leads us to a place of separation. And that separation is fed by judgment. Our thinking, we judge people. Simon was judging this woman. And he was judging what she was doing to Jesus Christ. And it also caused him to judge Jesus. Because he said, if this man was a prophet. See, he was pointing the finger at Jesus first, not at the woman. He was using the woman as a tool to point the finger at Jesus. If this man was a prophet, he would know. He would know who's touching him. It wasn't about this woman. It was about Jesus. Okay. But so what happens is we have this judgment. We see things, we think things, and we look at people in a certain way and we judge them unfairly because of the sins that they have on their lives, not even giving consideration for the sins that we have on our lives. When we do this, it causes us to separate ourselves from one another. We may not separate ourselves physically in the presence, but we separate ourselves in our thinking. We separate ourselves in our mind. We put ourselves in different categories and the different class levels and so forth. And this is not something that was meant to be. We weren't meant to be separate. We were meant to be together. And sometimes our judgment and how we look at people and how we unfairly, condemn people, it causes us to separate ourselves from one another. We weren't meant to be separate. We were meant to be together. We were meant to share in the four F's: food, or family, friends, food, and fellowship. We were meant to be, what's very important, key word that I want to focus on here today. We were meant to be a community. You know, at Crosstown Church, we have what is called community groups, which in some churches, they call them small groups. You know, some churches, they might call them Bible studies. They have different names, but I like the word community, because it's a time where we come together and we share in those times. When we come together in groups, we share in family, we share in friends, we share in fellowship, and a lot of times we'll share in what? Food. We share the four F's. At least when we come together in person in those groups, we do that. But we don't lately, because of the pandemic, we've been, doing it online, and we still share in family, friends, fellowship. And if you at home and you join those groups online, you can have your food too, right? So we're still sharing in the four F's, community groups. So we were meant to be a part of a community. We were meant to be community. When we look at God and his plan for humanity from the very beginning, leading all the way through the Bible, even through the days of Jesus Christ, there were so many times where community was promoted. So many times where it was promoted that we be together, that we spend time together, that we share together, that, we're stronger with numbers and weaker without. You know, it was so many times where it's promoted that we should not spend our lives in isolation, but we should spend our lives sharing with one another. You know, there's a time in the New Testament when it talks about the establishment of the first church of Jesus Christ, where they got together and they broke bread together. You know, Jesus came together a lot of times with people, and he sat down with a meal with them, sharing together. He loved community. He loved to be around people. You know what else is better? So we were all meant to be together. Okay. Spend time together. And you know what else goes good together? You know, food, family, friends, food, and fellowship. They just go together, right? You know what else goes good together? Beans and rice. Beans and rice go good together, right? Beans and rice. That man said, what are you thankful for this Thanksgiving? This holiday, he said, beans, rice, Jesus Christ, and Byron. That man said, beans and rice. There was something about beans and rice. Well, they just go together, amen? All around the world, many countries, many cultures, beans and rice is a common staple in meal planning. I don't know if you guys have traveled abroad or if you guys spend a lot of time, in different ethnic groups and different foods and stuff like that. There's something that is so common. Beans and rice is a very common thing in a lot of meal planning in different cultures and different countries around the world. It's extremely common, okay? I've traveled to, several Latino countries or Latin countries. And one of the things I've been to places where, we had beans and rice for breakfast. We had beans and rice for lunch, and we had beans and rice for dinner, beans and rice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. All right. And I'm like, man, so we got beans and rice for breakfast. Okay, cool. And then them same beans and rice, we got them for lunch too. Right. It'd be. The different foods that'll be added to it would be different, per meal, but the beans and rice will still be there. Then dinner comes, bang, we can still got beans and rice. They love beans and rice up in here, boy. And so, but anyway, beans and rice is a very common thing, and they just go together. Beans and rice just go together. One thing about beans and rice, beans, they are a good source of protein. Rice is a good source of carbohydrates. Both of them by themselves are very good. Protein, beans and proteins is good. Rice and carbohydrates is good. Both of them promote, good health for us, eating in proper moderation and so forth. But guess what? Beans and rice, when they are brought together, they create something much more special. They create something much more powerful than they do by themselves. beans and rice combined together in meal, they create this thing that is called a complete protein. All right, y'all hear that? A complete protein. In other words, when you bring the protein from the beans and the carbohydrates from the rice and you put them things together, they create this thing that's called a complete protein. You know what complete proteins do? Complete proteins, they are one of the best sources for muscle building, for muscle building. So if you're trying to build your muscles, when you take the carbohydrates and the protein and combine them together, that complete protein is very good for building muscle. All right. It's also a very good source for producing energy. So if you're trying to get some extra energy, you know, some extra muscle building, then find yourself a complete protein. That's what that is. So when you bring the beans and rice together, that complete protein is very powerful. So it makes, when they come together one, by themselves, they're very good. They're very strong. But when they're brought together, they're even better and they're even stronger. You know, so what goes together? This guy in this video, he knew that beans and rice, they just go together, right? They just go together. But he did something even more special. He added Jesus Christ to them beans and rice. He said he thankful for beans, rice, and Jesus Christ, right? So, man, we know that anytime we add Jesus Christ to anything, it just got to be better, right? It's going to be better. So if you eating some beans and rice, add some Jesus Christ to it, and them beans and rice still going to taste better and do better for you, all right? So this is what we're going to do. We're starting a new series today. In a new series today, Margaret told me I didn't tell the lesson today. The new series today that we started today is called Beans, Rice, Jesus Christ, and Byron. That's the series that we're starting today. We're going to teach a couple of lessons on this. And the subtitle of today's lesson is called Better Together. We are better together. Beans and rice are better together. And guess what? We are better together. When we come together as family, friends, food, fellowship, and food, they just go good together. They are just better together. You know, you can have, you can fellowship with yourself. Can you? That's a good question. You can have food by yourself, but you know what? When you share food with your family and your friends, it's just better. It just is. You know, let's jump in. So today we're going to be talking about being better together. That's our subtitle for today's lesson. And I'm probably not going to get through this entire lesson today. So it'll be continued on part two of this lesson, just to give you guys a heads up on this. But just like beans and rice are better together, guess what? We are better together. You know, we are meant to be a part of a community. We're meant to share in one another's lives. You know, there are special things about you. There are unique things about you, but there are also special and unique things about me. You know, by yourself, you are beautiful. By yourself, you are strong. You are powerful. You know, you are special. You are unique. Same for me. But when we come together, when we share in our uniqueness, when we share in the special things about us, when we share in our strength together, when we share in our abilities together, guess what? We become even better, better than we are by ourselves. When we bring them together, guess what? We are so much more than we are by ourselves. Just like this guy said, beans, rice, Jesus Christ, I say to you, you, me, and Jesus Christ. How about that? How about you, me, and Jesus Christ? This pandemic, it has shown us the value and the importance of community. You know, we couldn't spend time together when we felt like that we were going crazy. We were locked up in the house. You know, people were making songs about being locked up in the house. You know, I did a couple of TikTok videos about being locked up in the house, and we had to exercise social distancing. I remember one of my most famous videos that I did was about, you know, the social distancing. I did a TikTok video with Marguerite, and I had got my tape measure out. And every time she got close to me, I put the tape measure out and I measured 6 feet to keep her away from me. And then at the end, you know, the tables kind of turned and she put the 6 feet on me. But that was one of my most viewed TikTok videos. I should repost that. But anyway, it was during the pandemic time, man. It showed us the value because we couldn't do a lot of things. It showed us the value of community. You know, we couldn't meet together in church. You know, they were shutting churches down all around the world. You know, We couldn't get together and fellowship as a church family and a church community like we used to. Kids couldn't go to school. And we know how important that, you know, that community is for our children. Our children need to be able to play and have fun and interact with their peers. And they weren't able to do that, you know, and they were locked up in their bedrooms and they couldn't do nothing. They couldn't even go outside and play and stuff. We understood the importance of school is just not a place of education, but it's also a place of community development for our children. You know, we were doing drive-by graduations, you know, drive-by birthdays. You know, we couldn't go to large gatherings, as, you know, as holidays, for holidays and special occasions. You know, we couldn't even visit loved ones who were in nursing homes and in the hospital. They wouldn't even let you go in and see your loved ones in the hospital. If a woman had a baby, she had to have the baby by herself and different things like that. People going through surgery without and coming into recovery with nobody there with them, you know. This whole community thing was just lost. It seems like during this time of pandemic, many people, they even died. They died in nursing homes. They died in hospitals without any loved one, without not a one family member, not one friend, not one loved one right there by their side as there was, you know, taking their last breath and closing their eyes for the very last time and, you know, going on to meet their maker. And so, you know, it just took away our ability to be able to be a community. You know, this time has caused us to not only, you know, not to be together so far as sharing in the four L's, but it even has promoted and caused us to be even more separate than before because we're looking at so many different things and our behaviors had to change. And some of the bad behaviors that we have, they were just magnified, it seemed. You know, it caused us to be more separated than ever before. It caused us to be more even isolated than ever before. People got used to, and some people still are used to being alone, being by themselves. And we all need that alone time. We all need that time by ourselves. You know what I mean? But man, isolation is not a good thing. It's not a good place. It's not healthy for us. And some people have gotten very comfortable with just being isolated all the time. It's not a good and healthy thing. I'm just telling you right now. Okay. So many people, they are going through painful situation by themselves. And because they've gotten used to isolation, they don't even, you know, reach out for help. They don't even reach out to anyone that they can lean on, that they can, you know, shoulder that they can cry on, someone that can be there. You know, sometimes people are going through situations, painful situations, and we can't change it. We can't make it any better. We can't do anything about it. But guess what? We can be there to love on them. We can be there to hug them. We can be there to cry with them. We can be there to be, you know, to console with them, to be able to feel and to share in their pain. Sometimes, you know, we don't need nobody to say nothing or do nothing. Just be there for me. Just be there. Just stay close. You know what I mean? And some people, they have gotten to this place where they're sharing their pains. They're sharing their suffering. They're sharing. They're not sharing these things. They're doing them by themselves in isolation. What's, you know, this is not the way that it was meant to be. This is not the way that our Father God and Jesus Christ, this is not what they had in mind for us, that we would live our lives in separation, that we would live our lives, you know, in isolation. What was meant for us was to live in a community, to be a community of people, be a community of believers, people that can share, you know, share our families together, share our friends together, share our fellowship together and share food together, come together. But not only that, we were meant to be able to share, to be of support to one another. We were meant to be there for one another. We couldn't even go to graduations, you know. Watching graduations on a TV screen with just a you know, the child's picture being flashed on the screen for 3 seconds. Like, wow, that's it, you know. And you know, we couldn't even share in birthdays, you know. We couldn't even share in people, you know, having babies and all different things. We were meant to share in these moments in each other's lives. You know, we were meant to share in the positive moments, the good moments, but also the bad moments. We were meant to be a support to one another. You know, I would not want to graduate and nobody be there. You know, we were meant to be there. When you're in a graduation and you walk that stage and you know, you feel like you're walking that stage all by yourself, even though there's thousands of people there, but you feel like it's just you. The spotlight is on you. Everybody's looking at you walking across that stage by yourself. And man, there's no feeling like just hearing people scream and clap your name. You know what I mean? But not to have that, man, oh gosh, that's, We were meant to be a part of him. Where are my brother's keepers? Where are my sister's keepers? Now that we're slowly getting back to the four F's and we're starting to slowly feel like a community again, we're starting to feel like, you know, a sense of community where we can share and we can get together and we can hang out and we can, you know, share in the four F's like Jesus did so often. We're starting to feel, you know, get back to this place of being able to, you know, like I said, be a community again. This is right now, and I'm gonna end on this note right here, and I'm gonna save the rest of the lesson for next week. The time that we're in right now, especially going into the holidays, this next weekend is Christmas. Next weekend is Christmas. And we're getting ready to start the new year, and we're at a place in this pandemic season. You know, there's still some uncertainty, but we're getting back to, we're starting to get back to a place of sharing in the four F's. We're starting to get back to a place of being a community, of sharing with, you know, sharing our lives with one another. And so as we're getting back to that place, it's almost like we're at a place where we can actually recreate it. We can recreate, you know, what it looks like, what it feels like to be a part of a community, what it looks like, what it feels like to share in the four F's. You know, the way we used to do it, some of those ways, it's like maybe we shouldn't do it that way because, you know, we still got to consider the pandemic, whatever. In other words, we have a great opportunity to recreate, redesign, to reestablish. Let me put it that way. Reestablish what community is all about, what it looks like, what it feels like. And so I believe that if we take some time and we look at this and we explore this, let's talk about this, then we can create or reestablish what God had in mind, what Jesus had in mind when it comes to being a part of a community. So we're going to talk about next week, when we come back together next week, we're going to talk about three essential things when it comes to community building. And what we're going to talk about, I'll give you the three. We're going to talk about seasoning. We need some seasoning, right? When you cook a meal, you got to have some seasoning, right? We don't want no bland food, but we want some good food. Amen. We're going to talk about mixing. You got to mix it up. All right. You don't just throw some stuff in a bowl and throw it in the oven or whatever. You got to mix it up. All right. And sometimes in certain recipes, mixing is the way you mix, or the order that you mix things, is very important. Because if you don't mix it a certain way, then the outcome may be different. And here's another thing. You got to taste it. What's the sense of seasoning and mixing if you don't taste it, right? So we got to taste it. And I'm going to show you next week, we're going to talk about how these three things are very important when it comes to community building. Amen. What are you thankful for this holiday season? Beans, rice, Jesus Christ, and Byron.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If this message was a blessing to you and you would like to support this ministry in a financial way, you can donate electronically by texting to 84321 and enter the dollar amount you'd like to donate in the message area. Or you can mail a check or money order to Crosstown Church of Memphis, P.O. Box 40981, Memphis, Tennessee 38104. We invite you to visit our website at www.wearecrosstown.com for more information about our church. Join us for our next broadcast next Sunday at 10 a.m. Be blessed and be better.